says 15 years, you are gone. Hezekiah turned to God in prayer and began to praise God. That they said he's praising you seriously. God said, go and add another 15 years. Are you following what I'm saying? This is God that said, listen, it's over. Now, not to talk about if a man says it's over, how you knock a man, you understand what I'm saying? And Hezekiah, if you just read it, will have felt that what just happened to Hezekiah was that he prayed and God. But he entered into the depth of praise, and then he went on and said this, the Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of my life. And when he did that, Isaiah said, let them take a lump of figs, let them lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. And the Bible tells us that Hezekiah completely recovered of it. So there is something there, right, in praising God there, in getting into that place where you are rejoicing and praising God, that the spirit realm cannot deny you. Now, when we get to Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews here and chapter 11, I believe, chapter 11. Chapter 13. We look at it again. Verse 9, or from verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established in grace and not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And then he said, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. The word tabernacle there means the body. So what he was saying is that we have an altar wherein those who are conscious, all right, of the body and the physical realm will not be able to eat from this altar. He said, remember, and it's the same thing Jonah was saying, they that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. In other words, there is an altar. There are experiences in the grace of God that the reason why people cannot access those kinds of things is that they are dominated by their body. They are dominated by their physical senses. They cannot get into that place of praise and thanksgiving because the basis of their rejoicing and their praise is based on things on the outside. And that those that serve the body and are conscious of the body, this is what Jonah got to see. This is what Hezekiah was saying, that Jesus with his bones staring out, that Jesus, with all that condition, turned away completely from the realm, physical realm. And he said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And there was the praise that Jesus offered up. The same way Hezekiah offered up, all right, the praise there. The same way Jonah offered it up. He's telling us here that once we do not regard what is going on in the physical realm, but it's the testimony of Jesus Christ that we have received, the word of God that we have received, when you pray, back in the day, the prophet who come with the word. God spoke in time past, diverse ways unto our fathers through the prophet. He is now revealing himself through his son, which is the word of God. And the word of God gets quickened. And he says, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of what's going on the outside? With heaviness there, what your body is feeding you, the information coming from your five physical senses. He said, if you do that, there's an altar here that you will not be able to eat from that altar. There's a release of grace into the lives of people to do certain things that you will not be able to access because you respond too much, all right, to the five physical senses. He says, remember that the blood or the life that was brought into the holiest of all, the body had to be burnt completely. that anybody that is going to enter into the presence and that holiest of all cannot be conscious of anything or carry all of that that is going on in the environment, the heaviness and all of that. The only thing that you take in is the word of God that you know to be true and the report of God that you choose to believe. It says, and when you do that, then the movement towards that place. Say, for we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. That very one that you are seeking to come, you start approaching the manifestation of that thing. It says, as we offer up praise continuously, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. So the secret that Jonah realized was this. If you observe things that are going on the outside, you will forsake what God has placed on his altar for you. What Jesus did in that condition also was to rejoice. What Hezekiah did in that condition also was to rejoice and to praise and to offer thanksgiving. And when you get into that place, and that's what we're talking about, the word of God becomes the basis of this kind of fellowship with God. The reason why you can do that is because the confession of God's word on your lips has entered into your heart as a two-edged sword, and it has pierced deep into your consciousness and has kind of circumcised the flesh away, such that when you open your mouth, right, the confessions you have been making have done such a solid work in your being that you are transported by the power of the word of God into the presence of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that it is the testimony of God inside your being, that truth there, that takes you into his presence, where you are completely free of what is going on the outside without any form of heaviness, and you find yourself in that kind of worship and that kind of mode there. And when you interact with God in that way, whatever you have seen inside the word of God, you partake of that thing, and there's a transference of that particular thing into your life. What we're saying is this, and when you come out of that kind of thing, without even thinking, all right, if something happens, you just say out of your mouth that, look, because of the depth of your interaction, out of your mouth, the same way Jesus said, look, peace be still. You just say it, and the power comes from the presence of God, from your words, as a prophetic utterance, which means that Jesus looked at it. Jesus wasn't thinking about cursing the fig tree until he got there. He saw it, and in spite of it, said, no man shall eat fruit of the earth. He wasn't like, no man shall eat fruit of the hereafter. You get what I'm saying? And then your body is still alive. Then you check. All right? Whether you say, no man shall eat fruit of the earth thereafter, or you say, you whisper it, no man shall eat of thee. It's not how loud your voice is. It's whether there's substance that is coming out of your voice. You know, sometimes when you shout too much, they know there's a problem. Do you understand? What is happening is that you are trying to silence doubt in you. That's why your voice is so loud. All right? When you get to that point, the loud talk is to get the word into you. When it gets into you with a silent, with a whisper there, the power of God is transferred. Are you saying that Jesus had said, peace be still? Or he had said, peace! Peace! That peace is trying to close doubts coming from your own heart. But when God has transferred the substance into you, then what happens is, all right, this happens. So I want to get into something here. If we look at Hebrews 7 here and verse 14, we looked at this last worship, Hebrews 7 and 14. It tells us from verse 7, 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law or the order. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth, we saw this, to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. And so we saw that it is evident that the Lord sprang out of Judah. Judah means praise. And so what happened was that from that altar was where Jesus sprang. And to spring, we said this, is to rise. Is to suddenly, all right, arise. And imagines that people around are surprised at. It is sudden and it is swift, as by a sudden dirt or thrust forward or being suddenly released from a contained position. So the Bible says the Lord sprang out of praise, of which tribe no man spoke anything concerning the priesthood. In other words, he sprang out of Judah, but no man had ever associated, all right, that lineage there with what he was entering into. For it's far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, or the pattern of Melchizedek, and we saw the pattern of Melchizedek, the Bible tells us in chapter 7 here, verse 3, that he was without father, that he was without mother, that there was no descent, which means Melchizedek just showed up. All right? Can you imagine somebody showing up? We don't know the father, the mother, has no cousins, no brother, no sister. Nobody bears that surname we have ever heard. Are you following me? Somebody says, I'm from this town. They say, what's your name? He says, my name is Dakdwala from this town. Who is your father? We don't know. Who is your, but you are alive, so you must have come from somewhere. You get what I'm saying? So Melchizedek was there. The Bible says he sprang from the place of praise. In other words, Melchizedek was a praiser. Melchizedek was a person that understood the power of praise. And when people begin to praise God this way, I'm going somewhere, these things start springing, all right, out of the lives of the people. No beginning of days, no end of life, but was made like a son of God that abideth as a priest continually. Now, where is the scripture that I'm going to? Scripture I'm going to is in Hebrews chapter 11. About this springing from praise. And it tells us in verse 11 that through faith, Sarah herself received strength to do what? Conceive. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And she was delivered of a child when she was past age. The reason was that she took God, and that's why Hezekiah said, she trusted in the faithfulness of him that had promised. And then we see this springing again in verse 12. Therefore sprang there, even of one. And it tells us him that was as good as dead. The worth, that word good, as I went to check it, it means that the only thing they were waiting for Abraham was to die. As far as they were concerned, the use of Abraham, you're just waiting, what are you waiting for? Just for the person to die, that it's over. All right? It says, from that person that people considered had no more value, sprang from that person, that people looked at and said there was nothing comely, there was nothing they could desire of him, right? There was nothing that they said, only as good, sprang Not just one person, but it tells us, sprang as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and it says the sand that is by the seashore that you can't count. So from one, where did that springing come from? It came from Abraham there, where Abraham got to the point where the Bible says that they that serve this body have no right to eat of that altar. Those that say that I am 99 years old now and I have passed the age cannot eat from that altar. But how does a person who is 99 come to believe that it's possible to be a father of many nations? The testimony of the written word of God. And that testimony of the written word of God placed on the lips of Abraham, calling himself a father of many nations, as a two-edged sword pierced into the heart of Abraham and entered into the soul, all right, of Abraham. And then Abraham, from that place, now began to worship and began to sing praises unto God. And from that place sprang out, all right, children there, and things began to come out of that altar that was completely at variance with the state of his body. The Bible says we have this light in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power should be seen to be of God and not of us. In other words, what comes out of us, the power and the excellence that comes out of our beings, is clearly seen to be of God. And the reason is this, because when this truth and this light came, right, we took that truth and that light, and we took that thing to Jesus, and in praise and worship, all right, we weren't trying to produce it. Abraham discovered something. That look, if I try to produce it, then I'm going to have a problem. But if I take the testimony and I grind that testimony into my spirit by way of meditation, which is repeating the scriptures to myself, and I allow the word to enter into me, and the proof of this entrance of the word is that when I get into the place of worship, right, the worship gets deep and intimate with God, then what happens is that whatever is contained in that truth is now released by Jesus into my life. Look at Galatians. I'll close with the scripture, Galatians here and chapter 3. And this is what it's saying. Galatians chapter 3 here. Sorry, chapter 4. It says this. It talks about 2, verse 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and the other through the free woman. The bondwoman was born after the flesh, but the free woman was born by promise. In other words, the Bible says we got born again not by the will of man, not by flesh, not by blood, but it tells us that we got born again by the will of God. So flesh and blood was not involved, is God's will. It tells us here that the child of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. So the flesh was involved in the giving birth of Ishmael. There was a fleshly arrangement. But when it got to Isaac, he was born purely by the promise. And it speaks about the two covenants, Sinai, that gendereth to bondage, which is Agai, and Mount Sinai. And then it talks about Jerusalem, which is now. And it says Jerusalem is above and free and is the mother of us all. And then in 27, it gives us the key as to how what is born by the promise was born. For it is written, rejoice, break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolate had many more children. And it says that the way in which Sarah gave birth, the way in which Abraham was by rejoicing. Which means that as the word of God or the promise entered them, and they started rejoicing purely doing that in the promise, right? Not by any effort on the outside. Their flesh was not even involved in it. That the Spirit of God created that life there. So when you want things to come out that people look at and say, this is not by the arrangement, all right, of any form of flesh, no fleshly arrangement. We didn't try to, you know, organize this, all right? Some of them might try to organize things. But this, for it to come out by God, God gives you the promise, right? And you don't try to go and fulfill the promise and do something. But what you simply do is that you start meditating on the promise and get truth on the inside of you. And when you get truth on the inside of you, then that truth now takes you to a place where you're able to rejoice before God. You're able to worship God. And that's what happened. And as they got to that place and they worshiped, then the Spirit of God produced on the outside that which the Word of God had promised.
Thank you for listening.